What is up, wrestling fans? Welcome to episode number 448 of the Smart Out Moment Smack Talk Podcast, Hot Tags of the Week, where we'll be breaking down some of the current events, rumors, news, gossip, and everything else that went down in the world of professional wrestling over the past few days. I'm your host, as always, Tony Mango, and joining me, as always, outside of the past 2 weeks where I was just like, let's give him a little bit of a break, Robert E. Felice.
I appreciate that little bit of a break more than you know, Tony. But the most important hot tag we're going to get out of the way right away. You had a birthday?
Yes, I did.
Some wonderful man gave you a King Mabel action figure. And the hot tag is your reaction to that.
I thought it was great. I tweeted it out. I put it up. Wait, did I put it on Instagram or tweeted?
I think you put it everywhere.
I think I did. Yeah.
I appreciate it. King Mabel is the greatest king of the ring of all time. And... that is the hottest tag we can give you.
There was that, and Bodine and everyone at Smart Out Moment taking a part of a Mick Foley cameo, and the Dace Man giving me a cameo from Bruce Pritchard, and then just, you know, the way to turn a first half of a horrible birthday into a great birthday instead, because the first half was... it's kind of shitty.
Yeah. And I dare say you, there isn't anybody on the planet who deserves good days more than you. And I just wanted to get that out of the way at the top of this program, since it's been a while, since it's just been you and I.
Well, thank you so much, man. I love you.
I love you too, man.
And I love all you for listening. Well, not maybe not all of you. I don't know. Some of you might be some weird people, but yeah. At the very least, I love you for listening. I should say it that way. But many of you too. I mean, I know I got some happy birthday things from other people and stuff like that too. And just for the fact that you guys are listening anyway to this podcast, it's awesome. You guys are awesome. You get awesome points. I don't know how many you've acquired at this point. You can't cash them in for anything. They're not worth anything, but they're still points. And nowadays, with lots of participation trophies and no prizes and stuff, awesome points work too. Yeah, maybe it's like something you could trade in for Chuck E. Cheese. They're going bankrupt, so it's...
yeah, poor Chuck E. Cheese. Chuck E. Cheese, JCPenney's going bankrupt. Sears is apparently gone.
I thought that was already a thing before all this.
Yeah, I didn't know that. You know, lots of great establishments are just closing down, and I don't know how to feel.
You mean to tell me that you're not ordering Pasquale's pizza?
You know, I have not ordered Pasquale's pizza, but now I kind of want to order Pasquale's pizza.
Well, we are not going to talk all about that stuff. We have a lot of hot tags to get down this week, and I'm sure we're missing some stories too. So by all means, if we are, then drop a comment below and tell us what you want us to chime in about on anything else like that. And, you know, tell us your thoughts on these hot tags as well. Do that on the YouTube channel particularly, because YouTube is the best way to keep the discussion going and drop your comments, because that actually has a comment section on there. So if you're over there and you have not subscribed to the channel already, go ahead and do that. Ring that little notification bell as well, because not only is that a good way to be aware of when we post videos, it's also when we go live, which we most recently did with the mailbag. So if you missed that, and if you would have had that little notification check off and all that stuff, then you would have known at the time. I don't know if that would have meant you would have been available to listen to it, or if you really wanted to do that, but at least you would have gotten an email. That's the whole email notification's about. So if you're not listening to us on YouTube and you're listening to us elsewhere, that's still pretty awesome. So just keep listening, and I guess don't leave a comment because you can't. But yeah, find a way. Send a tweet at Smarkout Moment, post something on Facebook.com/SmarkoutMoment, or drop a comment on the page on SmarkoutMoment.com as well. Let's go ahead and just start talking. I don't know. Blah, 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 blah. No, I'm not going to. Let's talk about Stone Cold Steve Austin's most recent Broken Skull sessions. It was Mark Henry. And I've always been a fan of Mark Henry. I remember being super happy when he won the title. So I was interested in this one more than I was, for instance, like the Big Show one, or to be honest, like, kind of really wasn't digging the whole idea of just like Brett doing the same stories, or Flair doing a lot of the same things, or some of those kind of things. So actually, I really liked the Mark Henry one. Did you check it out?
You know, see, I kind of had the vibe of like, I've heard a lot of this before. You know, except the one thing I didn't hear before was the fact that the Hall of Pain started because McMahon just decided to rib Mark Henry and not send Sin Cara out.
Especially because the rumor was that that was supposed to be Brodus Clay's gimmick and that he somehow stole it and it was a whole thing like that. No truth to it, at least as far as this conversation went. So.
Quick plug for another thing that we're doing on this channel, which you'll be able to check out some more of tomorrow. On the Paul Heyman SmackDown podcast, where Callum and I go back to 2002, you see Mark Henry as the world's strongest man, and he's fresh off of winning, I believe it's the Arnold Classic. And it's bizarre to me to know that he's 6 years in the company there, and he's still 9 years away from his big break.
It's kind of crazy, isn't it? Came
It's
so late in his
absolutely
career.
crazy. But it's a good example of like never give up.
Yeah. Christian, same thing. He won that title towards the tail end of his career.
I think it's because of guys like Mark Henry peaking so late that WWE came around on picking up guys like AJ Styles when they were almost 40. Guys like Finn Balor when they're almost 40. You know what I mean? Like, I think it changed the dynamic of what age is in the industry.
I mean, yeah, back in the day, they used to be like, well, this guy's over the hill. He's like 38.
I did some research this morning, actually. Did you know Michael Hayes, when he was managing the Hardy Boys, was only 40 years old?
No.
Yeah.
40?
40.
Not even like 45?
Matt Hardy's currently 45, managing Private Party.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah, what that makes you really think. Like, he was only 40 years old.
That's so weird. No, that seems so like that should at least be flipped.
Nope.
Huh. Makes you think.
Age in the industry has changed so much.
I'm glad to hear that after having a birthday. I recommend checking out the Mark Henry podcast. You know,
I
if it's one
might.
of the ones that you are interested in, then you're going to check it out. If it's one of the ones you're not interested in, it's not the biggest, like, craziest thing in the world where it's just like, oh my God, this one's like the 24 Edge special, where it's like you have to watch that. I say put it on the background. It's good, good background stuff. Like he mentions about holding the truck with his feet or with his legs, not just like, you know, put a foot up. But he talks a little bit about the difference between getting some kind of accolade and taking all the credit for yourself and actually making sure that like your coaches and stuff are well known and everything. I liked it. I had it on actually in two different sessions when I was listening to it. I listened to the first half and then I had to do other stuff and I listened to the other half another day. But I liked it. Thumbs up as far as I'm concerned.
I'm glad to hear that.
Let's talk trademarks. Billy Gunn has filed a trademark for filed for a trademark for both his sons, Austin and Colton. They potentially could use the name if he gets this whole trademark thing sorted out and everything like that. Sons of a Gun, which
I
I,
hate
of
that.
course, love.
That's so bad. And it's made worse by the fact that WWE woke up one day and decided he couldn't be Billy Gunn. So he's just Billy, the way Cody is just Cody.
It's weird to think, though, that, yeah, if it's Austin Gunn and Colton Gunn, Sons of a Gun, Sons
With
of
Billy.
Billy. Yeah, it's kind of weird.
But they're doing it smart in the way that they do Cody. It's Cody and Brandi Rhodes, or like they're doing it's Billy and Austin Gunn, the Gun Club. So
Right.
they're doing it right.
Now, Sons of a Gun, of course, it's a pun. And I just immediately like it for that. Is it the most intimidating thing in the world? Of course not. But if you tell me that the Gun Brothers, or whatever you want to call them, if you tell me that they're going to be a tag team and you don't do some kind of a gun pun or something, I'm going to be disappointed. So.
That I assume WWE hasn't let the smoking guns trademark go.
Maybe they could get around it like they did with the Indies, where it's like it's the smoking guns or something like that, and you add like, I don't know.
It's NN apostrophe.
Yeah, something like that. They probably could.
I would
could.
Like to see them, if they could just get Uncle Bart for, like, one episode.
And maybe, like, maybe he's, like, on, like, Being the Elite, and he's, like, eating some butter beans.
That, you know what? I think that would be the greatest Being the Elite sketch they could ever do with Billy Gunn.
See, that's what Trent and Chuck should be trying to figure out. They don't have a gimmick each week. Do that. Let me pick a topic here. Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson are heading to Impact Wrestling, and they are also supposedly going to have a side gig, being able to wrestle for New Japan, which makes a lot of sense to me, actually.
I think they're going to go wherever the fuck they want. I think you're going to see a lot of people that got released go everywhere at the same time. In the same way that when Cody first got released, he went everywhere.
Yeah, he's wrestling New Japan. He's wrestling ROH.
He was doing Impact ROH. And then he slowly got down to like, okay, I'm just going to do ROH and New Japan. But I think you'll see the same thing with guys like Gallows and Anderson. Gallows is young, man. He's only like, I think he's only 32 or 3 now. He's like your age.
He's one of those people, I forget what I was listening to. It might have been something to wrestle. Maybe it would have been something else where they were like, yeah, he has looked like he's like 40 something since he was like 20 something years old.
It's so wild to me. Like, I'll be honest, I am very concerned about premature balding, and Luke Gallows is a very good example of why.
Like, how old was he when he was Festus?
20. So he is currently 36. So if he was Festus beginning in 2008, that is
12 years ago.
12 years ago, he's 24, so he's younger than me. Currently, as Festus. Wow. What? Wow. I would have never guessed.
Now, Gallows and Anderson, they strike me as people that will at some point go to AEW.
Yeah, but they will.
But they also strike me as maybe they just really like New Japan the best. And they're just missing that. And maybe they're like, you know what? We tried it. Let's go back to where we want to go. You know?
The only reason I don't see them being permanent is because Anderson has kids. And, like, I can't see him wanting to be overseas with kids.
Not even with his wife?
Well, I mean, he's got a hot Asian wife, but his kids are rooted here in America.
I was so lost about that whole thing for the longest time. I was just like,
She is a pretty hot Asian wife.
Well, I mean, the fact that he was just, like, saying that and, like, random things, it was just kind of like, wait, what? Like, why is this happening, you know? But, yeah, I mean, it makes sense for them to go these places. I don't expect them to ever come back to WWE at this point.
I never say never, but I think it's a huge, huge unlikely.
Let's move to NXT UK because, you know, why not? This is one of the things that's happened over these past.
So do you want to touch on some good before some bad, or should we get the bad out of the way and then touch on some good?
Toss out some good. Why not?
Alex Wright was featured on the most recent episode of NXT UK, and I just love that.
He was?
He was interviewed because he was one of the trainers for Fabian Aichner, and Imperium was chronicled.
I have not watched a single episode of NXT UK since the all the tapings shut down. And they stopped airing those.
I'm a big fan of Alex Wright. I love the dance. I love the stupid tag team with Disco Inferno. I just think that's like a nice little touch.
Alex Wright's one of those people that when I was a big WWF fan and I only like somewhat watched WCW because you just couldn't really watch both things at the same time the way you used to be able to. Like, I, you know, you'd have to do the whole thing where you're like, okay, I'm going to watch it on one TV, and on another TV, I've got a VCR and I'm going to tape that, you know, like that kind of crap. Alex Wright was one of those guys that I was just kind of like, WCW is so weird, but I'm enjoying this, you know, like.
He's a great dancer. Apparently he's a great coach, because I think Fabian Eichner is fantastic. And yeah, I just wanted to shout out some good before we have to cover the sludge.
So yeah, two of the referees have been released and Joe Coffey has been suspended.
And I'll just wrap this up by saying, according to the Wrestling Observer newsletter, Triple H had a meeting with the NXT UK people and basically gave them a warning that, you know, these things won't be tolerated, and to basically stop their shit.
Now, I did the last two hot tags on my own, so I didn't get your opinions about, like, Ligero had been released, Gentleman Jack Gallagher had been released, Travis Banks.
Yeah, and a lot of these accusations range, but I think it was a good move by them to just swiftly take action and do whatever they could to try and salvage a brand that is already the number four brand, if not the number five. You know? So let's not forget, Trent Seven was accused.
Well, that's what's interesting, is that this kind of whole setup where it's like Ligero, Banks, Coffey, et cetera, Devlin, so on and so forth. These accusations, allegations, speculations, I feel like I'm like Johnny Cochran or something right now. It's interesting to see who gets thrown to the wolves, who gets a hold on a second, and who gets dead silence. Like, it's weird that, like, Coffey got suspended, Ligero and Banks got fired, the referees got fired. I don't even know what the referee situation is, really. But, like, it's interesting because it kind of shows you, does WWE value certain people more than other people? Even, like, you can speculate sometimes on that, but sometimes it's proven right, you know?
I think it has to do with whatever they were accused of, their response to it. Like, Trent Seven, for example, I think is a good benchmark here. He came out and said, no, this is not what happened, and I will be fighting these accusations. Kind of like Velveteen Dream did the first go around when he was accused. So you're able to work with that. You know, there's different ways of going about things. Ligero admitted to what he was accused of. I believe Travis Banks did as well. I'm not going to lie. A lot of this stuff, I'm just keeping a tally of who's been accused. I haven't, like, read a lot of full accusations or statements, because a lot of it's very just trying for me. So I've done my best to avoid a lot of the details.
Yeah, I don't blame you. It's just something to think about. You know, if we start seeing, like, certain people get released and certain people not, then it kind of seems like sometimes there's a little bit more credibility. If we start seeing suspensions, if we start seeing, you know, anything for that matter, like, it's just something to kind of pay attention to, because we don't know what's happening behind the scenes. We don't know exactly how all these allegations work out and stuff, but Joe Coffey being suspended, it's like, hey, maybe where there's smoke, there's fire. Maybe there isn't. Maybe this is the type of thing where it's just brands trying to save their own butts, or maybe there's like I don't know. It's just kind of weird. But there was a whole lot of speculation that this talk about NXT UK was going to lead to something like an announcement that the brand was ending, or that.
Yeah. Okay. I will not say his name, but I feel obligated to say that there is a certain writer who reported that, and he's a nice guy. His exclusives are often proven false, and take his stuff with a grain of salt.
Well, the only thing that really seemed to come out of this that I've seen is something that's kind of self-explanatory. It's WWE wants Walter on the main roster, but he doesn't want to live in America, which is like, well, heard
he
that
might
before.
Not have a choice.
At this point, he can't come over. So.
Well, that's true too. But I mean, when things open up, because I would, let's go through this real quick. Let's assume the worst for 5 seconds and say Trent Seven gets released, Tyler Bate, who was accused, also gets released. Pete Dunne's in America. Rhea Ripley's in America.
Is Dunne in America? I thought he's in the UK.
But Pete Dunne is already out of that brand and on the American brand of NXT America. So do you have an NXT UK when so much of your foundation is, you know, stripped?
I don't think you do. I think that the way WWE gets around that a little bit, maybe, is, of course, it all depends on, like, you know, well, when do things open back up? When do they, when can they bounce back with this? All that other kind of stuff. But, like, let's just say theoretically, like, we're still talking about, hey, maybe we'll get fans by blah, blah, blah in, like, November. Like, it still hasn't happened yet. At that point, NXT UK basically took a whole year off. So what value does the brand have, really, at that
point?
They
have to completely restart.
They would have to do something, like, if they could get people to fly over or something, they'd have to do, like, brand versus brand title unifications or something like that. Or they'd have to say something like, well, NXT UK has been disbanded and
or
certain people are going to be on NXT and certain people are just gone, you know?
Or if you're determined to do NXT UK, you have to basically start from scratch and just relaunch the brand.
Now, they do have that performance center.
They do.
So they've put investments in that.
I think from a certain standpoint, people are going to be so excited to get back to wrestling that depending on how long they're off the air, we might just be able to get away with, like, let's just work with what you have because I miss pro wrestling. You know, even if you only have Massive Dave Mastiff and Primate, just put a match on with those two guys because I miss wrestling.
Just have that for the entire division.
Yeah, that is the division now.
It'd be interesting to see what happens, but I don't think that Walter, if that's true, is going on to Raw or SmackDown, and they might lose him. And
I would hate to see them lose Walter.
A lot of people in that brand. Not everybody in NXT UK, I think, is somebody who's like, they could come over and translate super well, and they're going to be big hits and stuff like that, but Walter's got something about him that's really cool, so.
Walter's a star. Bate is a star. Dunne is a star.
Tony Storm.
Rhea Ripley already made the transition. She jumped that gun. There's so much potential there. I don't want to see them lose it.
Bounce to another thing here. Well, you know, we're talking about the idea of these promotions not really necessarily surviving. We know now that Evolve isn't. WWE has purchased Evolve.
And they purchased everything, right? Like, they purchased the tape library for Evolve and Dragon Gate. And is FIP still a thing? I know I'm asking you rhetorically because I'm sure you don't know. But
well, I don't know.
Like, Full Impact Pro was another WWN brand. And I wonder if they're still running, because I keep hearing just about Evolve and Dragon Gate. And they haven't said anything, so who knows?
Now, I am curious. I don't know much about WWN, but I really kind of wonder why WWE wouldn't just buy everything.
Good question. I think Evolve was the main, and so was... and like Dragon Gate USA was the initial offshoot or promotion from Gabe Sapolsky following his Ring of Honor run. Evolve is interesting because Brian helped start Evolve, Daniel Bryan. So I want to hear those stories told, you know? Because the initial idea behind Evolve was wins and losses matter, not like AEW, but like, okay, we're just going to do this. We're going to run like monthly shows or bi-monthly shows, and it's all based off of wins and losses. And it's just who has the best record, like UFC. And that obviously that format didn't stick, but I want to hear stories about the early days of Evolve.
Well, Sapolsky is supposedly moving over to an NXT creative position. That's not too surprising considering all that he's talk been, about like, being groomed by Paul Heyman.
Basically. But he's basically been working there for a long time. You know, you've seen the shots of him with Sean and Hunter watching the matches and stuff. But good for him. Gabe deserves it, dude. Gabe Sapolsky was a guy who gave us Ring of Honor, basically. Everything you know Ring of Honor to be was basically Ring of Honor under Gabe. Like, Gabe is to the early 2000s what Paul Heyman was to the 90s. Ironic? No, because Gabe is Paul's protege. Without Gabe Sapolsky, there's no Samoa Joe. I genuinely feel that. Without Gabe Sapolsky, there's no CM Punk. There's no, like, he helped foster these guys along. And I'm glad to see him in NXT. I just wish, maybe I should save this for another thing, but I'm sad to see these indies dying, but I'm also like, okay, it was time to merge a little bit. Anyway.
Just, like, yay, merge.
And like, maybe Evolve wasn't one of the ones I wanted to see go under, but it was time. The indie scene was getting oversaturated in terms of promotions. There was a lot of promotions, but a lot of the same names. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, I mean, of course, people are going to work around at different things because they're going to get different shows, they're going to get different exposures, they're going to try to make as much money as they possibly can. So, like, I don't blame anybody on that regard, but it is kind of weird. Like, even if you just look at local things from wherever you are and you're like, okay, so that person's working this one and this one and this one that weekend or something.
And they're like, I'm going to be honest and say, you know, maybe that wasn't the best course of action. Like, maybe if we get back to having a couple of main indies, like your Ring of Honors from 2002s and your Major League Wrestlings, like, though, when those promotions were the promotions, they were must-see TV. Or not TV, but, you know what I mean.
And it's also, like, you know, when they say like the two brand split means that you can split the whole roster and everybody can get more of a chance. But then when the brand split ends and you get the whole, apologize, my nose is getting stuffier and stuffier by the second here. When the brand split ends, it's like the titles mean more because there's only one championship for each sub.
And I'm a big supporter of that theory.
When you take a bunch of indies and you make them all equal to each other, then they're all equal to each other and nothing's really all that special. But if you have like TNA and WWE and Ring of Honor and that's it.
And there was a definitive pecking order for a while where it was like Ring of Honor is the premier independent. TNA is great, you know, worldwide television, and WWE is, of course, the end-all be-all.
Just like WWE, WCW, and ECW.
Exactly.
And at this point, something like Ricky Starks, for instance, going from NWA over to AEW, just seems like he's like, yeah, I'm going to go to the WCW. And that's like, yeah, more and more AEW is firmly in that position. So NWA struggles and Evolve struggles a whole lot more, and then like MLW's got its issues, I'm sure. And
actually, you know what? MLW is just quietly like taking little victory laps, and it's surprising, but they cut ties with Teddy Hart earlier in the year, or even late last year, and he was one of the more problematic ones, and they had cut ties with Austin Aries. The only thing MLW might have to worry about, and I don't know if this is on your list of hot tags, so I'll keep it brief, but would be Low Ki, who's just making a little bit of noise as a guy who isn't very fond of wearing face masks. But other than that, MLW is doing all right.
Yeah, that Low Ki thing made me laugh. wear a mask, people. Come on, it's not that hard.
All right, the quick PSA. Listen, we don't know. I'll grant you this, guys. I'll grant you this. We don't know if wearing masks is going to be the end-all be-all. But we do know that wearing masks is a small gesture that you can make to show that you at least care enough about your fellow man. So I'm imploring you to care about your fellow man and wear a mask. And while you're wearing a mask, you need to go over to the Redbubble and TeePublic shops for Smart Out Moment and buy face mask. Tony, tell them what designs they've got.
You've got things all over the place. And for some reason, the one that people have bought the most of, which is admittedly not saying a lot. It's not like these are flying off the shelves and all that other kind of stuff. But guess the design that has, I'm pretty sure, sold more masks than it has sold any other type of design product of for that particular thing.
Ant-Man's on my shirt.
Ant-Man is on my shirt. I don't understand it. I don't get how this has been a design that's been out since Ant-Man. Like, I'm pretty sure I put it up around that. So the design, for anybody who hasn't ever clicked on it, which you can find it at Redbubble and TeePublic for the Fanboys Anonymous shop, is literally like the Fanboys version of the Marvel logo. And it says, Ant-Man is on my shirt, with a big arrow that points to a very, 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 very tiny Ant-Man. And I don't know if I sold a single t-shirt of that in the time that I've had that up. Yet I've sold, I think, like 3 or 4 masks. And I'm like, I really don't understand.
Should this thing, at this point, should you make an Ant-Man is on my mask?
I got a feeling if I do that, it's not going to sell. So, well, you know what? I'm like, somebody's kind of buying that every once in a while. Okay, maybe it's funny that it's on my shirt and it's a mask. I don't know. But if you want to pick them up, you want to buy a whole bunch of them or something like that, you know, buy a crate, whatever. Redbubble and TeePublic. Go to Fanboys Anonymous, go to Smart Cat Moment, and go to Amango Tees, because every product design has the option for a mask, except for the ones that I think are like the, like they have curses on them and stuff. Because I think that that's like a policy where you can't put a mask on that, or it might be that and kids' t-shirts or something like that. So like, I think like the wasted ones that are parodying GTA, I think that that might not be able to be on there or something. And the Total Divas one that says total bullshit, like you can't get that on there. But pretty much all the other ones, there's not only the masks, there's t-shirts, there's stickers, there's mugs, there's shower curtains and leggings and dresses and stuff. And I don't even know how some of those would really necessarily look on some of those, because I've never bought an A-line dress in my life. I don't even know what it means. But hey, if you want one that says Derwood Kirby Burger instead of Burger King, you can pick it up. It's an option. So yeah, think about it. Let's go talk about this. You know, we're talking about the idea of masks. WWE is fining wrestlers for not wearing masks now. So maybe that's why Rick Boogs is like, yeah, I think I'll put it back on. Yeah.
This is an interesting one. So, long story short, for those who don't know, COVID-19 is a thing. And it's really a thing in the state of Florida, where WWE is running, AEW is running, and I happen to be living. These numbers are astronomically bad. They're awful. They're terrible. They're no good. Whatever other adjective you want to use.
They're pretty much proof that people should not be opening up.
Correct. WWE has never closed, as we know. But they did come under scrutiny in the recent week because Renee Young confirmed she had COVID. Adam Pearce confirmed he had COVID.
Kayla Braxton for the second time.
Jamie Noble confirmed he had COVID. And Kayla Braxton for the second time. So Kayla Braxton may be the first person on record anywhere to confirm that she has gotten COVID twice. And that you can actually get COVID twice. And by the way, that's twice within like a 3-month span. So think about that. WWE has now instituted a mask policy that basically says if you're not in the ring or you're not cutting a promo, you must be wearing a mask at all times during the taping. And your first fine for not wearing it will be $500. And repeat offenders will be fined $1,000. I think this is a good move, even if it's one that's just for PR. Yes, institute a policy. Show that you're being forward-thinking. Because this is a real thing. You're already under the gun because people don't understand why wrestling is still running. So, be better.
Here's something that I don't know if this would kind of appease WWE to a certain extent or just not be worth it. Clear masks.
You mean like so that people can still show emotion and whatnot?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're going to see people start to do that, not only in wrestling, but everywhere as this becomes the new normal. And I'm just glad they instituted some kind of policy.
Yeah, I think that this is way long overdue. And it's, you know, better late than never. But at the same time, I kind of feel like it's happening just because it's like, well, we have to or something. So, again, good. I don't know if the $500 fine is going to be the type of thing that makes people really do that for anything other than that they want to avoid the punishment. But at the same time, whatever motivator they need, give it to them.
They do carry out weird fines. I think Jericho told the story that Batista bled in a match and got fined by Vince personally $20,000 for it.
That makes sense.
Huh.
Yeah, they were all against bleeding, so.
Well, you know, while we're talking about COVID and Renee Young being one of the people who's had COVID, Renee Young also has a cookbook.
Yeah. I will not be checking it out. I've never bought a cookbook in my life.
You should just buy it. Buy it for decorations. Buy it for the pictures of food.
I don't have a coffee table to put it on. Oh, well, then don't buy it. So, and if I did have a coffee table, I'd buy a coffee table book about coffee tables. And I'd just be like, hey, you know that Seinfeld thing? And then that'd be it.
That's the most Tony Mango thing. I would buy a coffee table book about coffee tables.
Just to reference Seinfeld. I have the picture of that, like the print version of that painting of Kramer. I have that. So that's hanging up in my living room.
What are we going to do a podcast about? Nothing.
Oh, that is already out there. It's a silent hour show. What a great episode.
Fantastic. I
went through the effort of making all those stupid accounts for that dumb joke. Maybe doing more of that thing, that other idea sometime soon that I had been talking about before that I kind of put on hold. Might be doing that. So stay tuned, everybody. You might be hearing more of my voice and Caroline's. With a little project. But yeah, cookbook. I didn't know that Renee was that much of a culinary expert.
You know, she's been pushing that on Instagram, and I'm glad she's finally getting to do this.
Now, is it going to be all like Canadian food? Is it going to be all like just like, hey, I'm kind of quirky, this is my cookbook? Like, do you know anything about like
I think it's, hey, I'm kind of quirky, this is my cookbook, but that's just me going based off of who she is.
What's like the dish that can be for like for Moxley?
Some like whiskey based, like whiskey chicken, whiskey burger, something that's got whiskey in the mix.
Whiskey barbecue burger type of thing. I could see that. Yeah. Maybe have like to symbolize his hair, the way they had it all like dangly before you got the crispy onion straws. Yeah, kind of thing.
I see Moxley and I definitely think pub food. Renee, I'm sure she's more of like a pasta. She strikes me as a pasta person.
Maybe some quinoa.
Yeah. And like for desserts, she's probably like a little bit of a, like those little chocolate individual cheesecake kind of things. Like they're just very small. Whereas like Moxley for dessert is probably just like, yeah, I want you to give me the biggest brownie you have. And then I want you to smother it with like every topping you can.
Oddly enough, I feel like Renee Young strikes me as like a key lime pie girl. I could see that being the case.
She might, I could see her getting down with some key lime pie.
So here's a funny side story that has absolutely nothing to do with wrestling. And it actually doesn't even have anything to do with key lime pie. But it's close. When I was little, in my elementary school, like this is back in the day when you could actually bring things into school and it wasn't like this person's got an allergy and this is whatever and that kind of thing. So you didn't really have to worry about that. You could bring in like munchkins on your birthday or like something like that. In my kindergarten class, somebody had brought in lemon meringue pie. And I, as a kid, was like, what the hell is this? Because I had never had it. You figure you're 5 years old at that point. I'm like, I've never had lemon meringue pie. But our teacher had told us if you were allergic to something that you didn't have to like feel obligated to eat any of it. Because like, why would you? You know, like that kind of thing. And I just didn't want to try it because I was just like, this looks weird.
Did you lie and say you were allergic to the lemon meringue pie?
Yep.
Tony. So,
I was just kind of like, Susan, I don't want to try this kind of a thing, but I don't want to be mean and be like, you know, I don't want to try this weird ass pie that you brought in for your birthday. So I'm just like, I'm allergic. And the teacher just moved on or whatever like that. Didn't question it at all. And when I got home and I told my parents about it, they were like, why did you lie and say you're allergic to it? So like ever since then, you know, you figure this is 20 plus years.
Did you ever try lemon meringue pie? Do you like love it now?
No, I've tried it and I don't like it. So I'm like, oh, good. I've waited having it another time. But ever since then, like if I ever come across that somewhere and like my family's there, you know, they'll kind of be like, oh, wait, make sure you don't eat that because you're allergic to it. I'm not allergic to any food that I know of, so.
Thank God. If I was suddenly, like, allergic to shellfish or something, I would just, like, that life wouldn't be worth living. You know, like.
Crab is so good.
And lobster, man.
Ugh. It's very good. I don't know about lobster, man. I know about lobster boy.
I was going to say, yeah. Lobster, I would eat every minute of my life if I could. Right now I wish I was eating lobster while doing this podcast.
That would be pretty sweet. If you want to eat lobster while you're doing this podcast, hit up to me. If you want us to be doing that, hit Patreon. That's what I should say instead.
Exactly. There is the pick your poison tier. Instead of poison, we would like lobster. Thank you.
Pick your lobster tail. Is it rock lobster or is it main lobster? If you don't know, the Patreon does have a pick your poison tier. It is the option for you to request some kind of a special feature, some kind of a podcast, some kind of an editorial or something like that. And it's not only there for Smart Guy Moment, but it's also there for Fanboys Anonymous. So if you want more of the geek culture stuff that is over on fanboysanonymous.com, not only should you show your support and love over for that website and follow the YouTube channel and subscribe and do all that kind of stuff, but you should also consider donating to that Patreon, because even a dollar goes a long way to make sure that we keep the lights on here on both these sites and that I have the time to be able to dedicate to that and not have to do the freelance stuff on side of that. That takes up a lot more time, and I would be doing so many more podcasts and so much more interesting material if I had the chance to do that kind of stuff. So if you want more and you got the spare change, then toss it through the Patreon, and hopefully I've set up the tax things right. I keep getting emails that say that I haven't, but I don't understand what I haven't done wrong. So we'll see, I guess. I don't know. But even like the $5 range is like an ad block forgiveness type of thing. $10 and up gives you access to the dark casts. And we will be doing a few of those pretty soon. So stay tuned for that, too.
Yeah, and you know, while we're here, I want to, like, give a shout-out to the rest of the staff at SmartCat Moment. We talked about Tony's birthday at the top of the show, but the staff really pitched in and, like, helped with television coverage and
very much
all,
so
all the editorials, and I'm like, I'm so grateful for that, just because I know how hard Tony works, and it was nice to see people come together to give him a break. So just shout out to everybody at the website, and thank you,
Ethan, Ben, Bodine, Dallas, everyone chipping in on the triple thread, everybody taking part of any of that kind of stuff. You guys are awesome. So check out when they write something up. You know, it's not just me that is keeping this ship afloat. You know, Callum does the power rankings, and we've got a good team of people over here. So yeah, awesome. Big thumbs up to everybody that's a part of that. And Dallas may be doing some of the live coverage going forward for a little bit. So if you want more of what Dallas is writing up, then check out the Raw and Dynamite and SmackDown stuff.
Very cool. Like, and you know, and then there's me, and I just come on here and I talk into a microphone. You're welcome.
Let's move on to possible spoilers. We don't know for sure. Here's the thing. I'm going to steal your line.
You can't steal my line.
Well, you know what it boils down to? I got it out first. So.
Oh, you're going to steal my line and then prohibit me from stealing yours, you son of a bitch.
I always forget what the one that Callum is, because for some reason, Callum doesn't say it as often, but it is the one thing that he says more than the other ones. Crap, what was it?
I don't like chocolate.
Was his the one where it's one of those things where...
Yeah.
That's what it was, yeah. Okay.
It's one of those things.
So, there are spoilers for the entirety of Night 2 of Fyter Fest and the finish of the Keith Lee versus Adam Cole match for Great American Bash for next week. I will not necessarily say what those spoilers are, just in case anybody doesn't want to know. However, the story itself, at least for now, is that the Great American Bash spoiler was put out from NXT star Sauron. I don't remember how to pronounce
Salamander.
It. Salamander Grigar, one of the two members of Indus Share. He tweeted out a picture of somebody winning the match, and everybody went, I guess that happens. It's like,
so WWE has gotten into a pattern of throwing out little red herrings, shall we say. Now, they had Brie Bella post that picture of Daniel Bryan at the Intercontinental Championship. They had Sasha Banks accidentally post a picture of the SmackDown Women's Championship when she was in the Fatal 5-Way at WrestleMania. I would say the same for this photo, but the amount of hoopla that is in the photo would lead me to believe that, wow, you would not blow the budget on a false finish.
Yeah, because there is the story that, and I don't remember how to pronounce his name, but EJ Duca, I think that's how you pronounce it, one of the other developmental people, he tweeted out, oh, we recorded two things. It's just that there's two endings, you know, the kind of thing where they do that sometimes in movies and stuff, just so it's like, oh, what's the real ending? Oh, it's actually this one. And then, oh, look at that. If the spoiler came out, the spoilers for both sides, like that kind of thing. I think that that's backtracking.
But people are getting really into that in the time of COVID, because you have to do things to keep things interesting. I'm going to go on record and say I think that the spoiler photo is true. However, I just want Tony Schiavone to spoil the episode on Dynamite and say that'll put a lot of butts in the seat, because, woof, with Adam Cole's girlfriend right there. Like, because Britt Baker's doing the whole role model sitting next to commentary thing. I think that would be hysterical.
It would be funny as hell if that happened. And if these Fyter Fest spoilers are like true, and if the beginning of the NXT episode, they just go, and this person wins, and this person wins, and it's like both just cannibalized.
Yeah, now who are you going to watch? Yeah.
It's like that'll put butts in seats, and then you turn into the other one, and they're like, and this person beats that one, and you're like, okay, I'm not going to watch either of them. I'm going to go watch something else, like that kind of thing. But even if that is true, the other results for Great American Bash haven't been leaked. So that gives them an edge, I think.
That's right.
And if that thing is true, people might want to see that, too.
And I'll be honest, I don't think the AEW spoilers are true, because it's just a Reddit user. And there's no way to, like, confirm any of that.
It all seems believable to me, though.
Yeah.
But, I mean, then again, like, predictions are supposed to be believable. You're supposed to be predicting what's happening, so.
I'm going to look. I'm going to watch that first match, because I cover AEW for WrestleZone. And if the first match checks out.
Yeah, then the whole thing is just going to. You're going to have that pre-written up and just be like, okay, getting ready to post this kind of.
Alrighty, I have the night off. How we doing?
Right. I already have that up on the Fyter Fest page on SmartCutMoment.com with a little note that says this may or may not be the actual results, but here you go. Here's the spoilers of
who wins Tony matches. Khan's regretting letting fans into that upper bowl now, isn't he?
So it's clearly Brian Pillman Jr. that released it, right?
Oh, clearly. Oh, absolutely.
That's why he's got those sunglasses on, you know?
It's a great disguise.
I didn't see that it was him until that was pointed out, so there you go. But if you want to figure out what these spoilers are, you can check out the Fyter Fest page on SmartCutMoment.com for that. I do not have the Great American Bash one up, but, I mean, you can find it super easily if you haven't already seen it, too.
You can check out Fightful.com and WrestleZone.com, the two sites I contribute for. And hey, look at that, my plugs are done.
Check them out at Dude Felice on Twitter.
No, we're done.
Well, we have two hot tags left. This one's the titular one. It's Kairi Sane is supposedly leaving WWE and going to Japan to wrestle one more year before retiring. And that the idea was that she was going to be written off TV and that was going to factor into SummerSlam. And now that might not even be a thing.
I hate this. This makes me so sad. I feel like Kairi Sane is so good and she's just getting started. And now if she's going to be taken away from us.
I'm not too shocked if it turns out to be true, though.
And then neither am I.
There's been a lot of speculation about that kind of stuff.
The same report was like, oh, but she's cleared and she'll be back for the next set of Raw tapings.
Do you think that they're going to go with that? Like Baszler, for instance, like, takes Kairi Sane out.
It'd be fitting if it was Baszler, because like that was Kairi's greatest rival in WWE. They had like, what, 4 or 5 matches for the NXT women's title. I would like to see her fight Asuka in a loser must go home. Like, since they're both from Japan, like a loser must go home match.
Like, they really make it specific, loser must go to Japan
match. Yeah, like loser has to go back to Japan. America is not big enough for the two of you. One loser has to go back to Japan.
I can just imagine the graphics and like, I can imagine WWE playing into that so poorly by having like Nia Jax come out and do something. You know, just gonna. If she is retiring, I hope she gets some kind of a send off. That'd be kind of nice.
Yeah, she's really good. Like, I don't want to see her retire.
But then again, maybe she wants to retire because maybe she's just like, yeah, you know.
Yeah, you know, maybe they retire sooner. Maybe the Hannah Kimura stuff got to her. I don't know. I'm speculating. I'm just saying, yeah. You know, maybe it's been a rough year for everybody.
Maybe she wants to start a family, you know?
Maybe you combine both of those things with the fact that she suffered a couple injuries lately. Maybe it just feels right.
Could be just homesick. Could be a lot of things. But if she does leave, that sucks, because I like Kairi Sane.
Yeah.
And maybe that's even why they had Asuka with Io, to just sort of like kind of soft, like move that around a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think people will be into that. The tag team stuff will still be good if they do that. I'll just miss Kairi.
Yeah. So hopefully if it works out, it all works out for the best, and it might not be 100% true. I don't know. At least that's what the dirt sheets are reporting. And of course with dirt sheets, you have to take everything with a little bit of a grain of salt, even if a lot of times, a lot of those things end up being true. But let's talk about the one final topic here, which is multiple topics. Essentially, it's just thoughts on the episodes of TV from this week. So let me bring up actually all the TV results, because I don't remember a lot of them.
Let's talk about main events. I understand Bianca Belair fought Billie Kay.
Yep, and she beat Billie Kay.
I understand.
If I understand correctly.
And I understand that there was a fun spot in that match where they were like locked up in a grapple and Billie Kay was trying her best, but she could not overpower Bianca Belair. I think it's a credit to Bianca Belair, but this is not what I meant when I said she's main event material.
I did not watch it, so I can't tell you. I mean, I did the same thing everybody does. I go, I don't need to watch main event. Especially since it was a majority of it was a clip show. And just why? What else we had here going on? I want to eventually do, maybe I'll do it next week after it's over. Maybe I'll do it in an editorial form. I don't know. I want to do some kind of comparison between Fyter Fest and Great American Bash. But I enjoyed Fyter Fest quite a bit. And I'm not going to spoil my full thoughts on which one's better and stuff. But I will say I enjoyed the atmosphere of Fyter Fest more than Great American Bash. But I liked some of the things about Great American Bash quite a bit too.
So I want to one up that and say I'd be okay with doing a dark cast of a like compare and contrast for both these events. And I enjoyed Fyter Fest, but I think NXT also brought a big time event feel. I did, however, stop everything I was doing and watch. And I'm saying this as the guy who covered, and that's okay because I covered it with my boss. The guy who covers Fyter Fest in AEW, I stopped what I was doing to watch Sasha Banks and Io Shirai. Like, I have double monitor, I'm watching both matches, but Sasha Banks and Io Shirai very much delivered. Sasha feels rejuvenated. I think she likes the fact that almost by default, because there's no Becky, no Charlotte, but there's still the reliance on the four horsewomen, Sasha and Bayley are now on all three shows.
I can't stand it.
I like them on NXT. And I'm not gonna lie, I like seeing Sasha. And Bayley, I think, has become more entertaining without the audience than when the audience was there.
I gotta tell you, I hated the segment from SmackDown tonight. Hated it with a passion. I thought that this was awful and I couldn't wait for it to end.
I liked, I believe it was Raw, where Bayley got distracted Asuka with that like 4-year-old thing and she's like, who falls for this? Who does? I thought that was funny. Like, I think Bayley's coming into her own without people there, which is weird. But I think the lack of fans is helping Bayley.
Let's see what other stuff we had going on. If we had a strap match, we had Damian Priest, definitely a babyface now, challenging Cameron Grimes to a match. Rhea Ripley beat Aaliyah and Robert Stone in a handicap match by submission, by making them both tap out. Fatal 4-way number one contenders match, Tegan Nox is going to fight Io Shirai.
Shocked.
Surprised about that one. Did not think that a babyface would win that one. I figured pretty much a guarantee that it was going to be Dakota Kai, and a very, very high likelihood that it could have been Candice LeRae, and the other two, just not a chance.
Yeah, I like the fact that it's Tegan. I know she's not going to win, but I could hope.
It's pretty cool, though. I had some great stuff in Fyter Fest. I mentioned before, like, I really enjoyed some matches here and there for that kind of thing. Lucha Boy. Wow. Lucha Boy and Junglesaurus, I almost
said. Junglesaurus sounds like it could have been a wrestler.
Lucha Boy sounds like it could be too, for that matter. Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy, great match with MJF and Wardlow, for instance. That was my favorite match of the night.
Yeah. Great match. I think it was Callum's favorite match of the night as well. It was definitely my favorite match from Fyter Fest. Obviously, I'm a sheep and my favorite match was Sasha's. But I thought that was the best thing. And I think Callum said it best. I'd be okay with Jungle Boy and MJF fighting forever.
Just chant it the next time that there's an arena for people to be like, fight forever. We had the other stuff on SmackDown and Raw. Let's see, on Raw there was contract signing stuff.
How do you feel about this Dolph Ziggler gets to choose the stipulation?
I think it's going to depend on what the stipulation is.
If you had to guess right now, what's the stipulation?
Kind of thinking cage.
I'm thinking ladder.
Ooh, that could work, yeah. I mean, they did just have the Money in the Bank, but that hasn't stopped them in the past.
It's either ladder or last man standing, because he'll be like, I have so much determination, and I have always been the last man standing around here. You know, on Dolph Ziggler, I should have been pushed 10 years ago.
I hope it's not something super lame. Like, it's like, I pick a like a blindfold match. Or
a one
like,
arm tied behind your back match.
Yeah, like I don't want to see any of that. So if they announce something cool and they actually let the two of them go out there and have a really good match, then that could be pretty awesome. But if they just put something out there for the sake of being weird, like I didn't get your opinion about this actually, because this happened during one of the weeks I was doing this on my own. Do you hate the whole Extreme Rules, the horror show, as much as I do?
So I think it's stupid to call the whole thing the horror show when it's only one match that is slightly based on the horror aesthetic, which is the swamp fight. And I just think it's so dumb. Like, first of all, it's called the horror show, but the color scheme is very neon, early Hardy Boys.
Yeah, it's very much, hey, it's 1998. Do you want to drink this?
Yeah.
Like Surge or something.
I don't like that it's called the horror show. But I don't like Extreme Rules. Like, we saw tonight on SmackDown, Cesaro and Nakamura just got a table out for no discernible reason other than to set up a tables match at Extreme Rules.
They're having a tag title match next week on SmackDown.
Doesn't mean they can't have a follow-up at Extreme Rules.
That's what I'm expecting. I'm expecting something to happen where somebody gets put through a table and then they go, you know what? It looks like this match is going to be kind of pushed off because they're going to do a tables match at that because it's tables.
Or they win next week and then do the tables match. Either way, I see Nakamura and Cesaro getting the belts. If not next week, at Extreme Rules.
I don't necessarily think that, but I do think that we're getting a tables match. And I think that rules out the Ziggler idea being a tables match at the very least, because I don't think that they're going to do that on two different sides of things. But
why does Ziggler? It's almost mandated, and I have said this before, but it seems like it's mandated around this time of the year that Dolph Ziggler main event a show.
It does seem to happen quite a bit.
Like, you dust off Dolph Ziggler for, like, June, maybe some point in September as well, and then you'll bury him again. But I don't expect him to come anywhere near winning, especially because why has he got a title shot? Just because he showed up and was like, I want a title shot.
Yeah. He's like, hey, bud. And McIntyre's like, sup? Like,
yeah.
We had this whole thing with Randy Orton and Big Show. Randy Orton didn't come out. Big Show was doing stuff with Garza and Andrade. I thought it was funny that he was like, what did he call him? He mixed up Andrade and Angel Garza. He called him something like Garza and an Angel Garza or something like that. Like
Andrade Garza or something.
Yeah, it was like Garza and Andrade Garza or whatever. Like, I forget exactly what he had said, but it was something like that. And then he's like, I don't know, whatever their names are. Kind of thing. It's like, all right, you're not watching the product all the time now, are you?
You know, it's weird that we're currently in the middle of a feud with Randy Orton and The Big Show and Ric Flair and Christian. But I think I'm officially that lapsed fan who is so happy to see Randy Orton and The Big Show and Ric Flair because I just have faith in them that it's like, well, at least the story will be good. Because at least they can tell a good story. The match will suck. But, like, I expect that at this point.
It's funny how many people are interconnected now. Because it's Edge versus Orton that included Beth, and technically speaking, I guess, their daughters. And that brought Christian in, and Big Show, and Ric Flair. And Big Show was now feuding with Zelina and Andrade and Angel Garza, who are feuding with the Street Profits, who have been interacting with the Viking Raiders, who have been feuding to a certain extent with Akira Tozawa and the Ninjas, who are also feuding with R-Truth.
Who are also feuding with the Big Show.
Who was feuding with, for temporarily at the very least, MVP and Bobby Lashley, who are feuding with Apollo Crews, who was temporarily feuding with Shelton Benjamin.
You know, I'm okay with that, though. I'm okay with the idea of a lot of people being intertwined. That's one of my favorite things about 1997, where it was like, everybody hates each other. And at any point, anybody can fight and it can make sense.
I like it to a certain extent. I hate it when we get like what they've been doing lately where it's like, okay, well, Big Show is going to fight with this person and then they're going to have a match. And then you know what? After that match, we're going to announce that they're going to have another match later. And it's like,
I think they're just making up for a lack of talent due to the coronavirus stuff.
To be honest, I'd rather them just do more of these replay things. Like, I'm not going to be paying attention to it, but I'm kind of okay with them just being like, yeah, Braun Strowman versus Bray Wyatt, we're going to rerun it next week on SmackDown. Cool. Give me less time that I have to work, you know?
That's fair.
Looking through the rest of this, I'm okay with doing that, for instance, and not getting another Seth Rollins cuts a promo about how Rey Mysterio is a sacrificial lamb, and then that leads to Humberto Carrillo and Aleister Black and Murphy and Austin Theory and Mysterio and Dominic and Rollins all fighting. I've seen that for how many weeks now? I'm sick and tired of it. Do something else or just don't do anything.
I've noticed that with these Rollins feuds, because they did this with Owens as well, they're just sort of dragging stuff out.
How many times have we seen him pretend like he's going, well, because of all things pretend, obviously, but like do the whole like, I'm going to do it to Carrillo. I'm going to do it to Carrillo. Carrillo.
It's Carrillo. He'll do it eventually. I like it, though. I think it can prosper. I think they're just making up for a lot of lost ability, once again, due to COVID.
Looking through the list to see if there's anything that happened on Raw that I'm really actually all that, like, awesome about. And
it was last week that they got rid of Charlotte, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. This was, like, MVP beat Apollo Crews.
I like Lashley that.
Beat Ricochet. Oh, I liked R-Truth calling him Richard O'Shea.
That's funny. And Cedric the... Was Cedric the Sports Entertainer?
Yes. I thought that was great, too. R-Truth is the best. He won the 24/7 title back again, so he's like a 900.
And he won it in a match that was advertised. That was weird.
Yeah. COVID. Strange. Ruby Riott is now, I guess, a babyface and going to be teaming up with Liv Morgan because she flat out fought Peyton Royce and lost because Ruby Riott's lost every single one of her matches.
Ruby Riott has lost 11 matches since returning, and has won 0.
Talk about a push.
It's a push in a certain direction.
The one of the alternatives to Belt or Bury originally was push or pink slip.
I like that.
What I was thinking about doing. I don't think she's getting released, but at the same time, it's just like, hey, how about we beat her down and make sure she's not worth anything at this point? Sasha Banks and Ziggler beat Asuka and Drew McIntyre. This episode of Raw, I don't remember like almost anything that had happened from it without looking back on this. I'm like, this really wasn't a good episode of Raw.
I like the Sasha Banks one. I'm not buying Ziggler, you know? Like, I think it just sucks. I want to buy Dolph Ziggler, and I'm glad that he's fighting McIntyre. That should be a lot of fun. But I just don't... I don't know. I don't buy it.
I wasn't taking SmackDown for that much either.
That's fine. They, the AJ Styles stuff, the stuff early on with, like, Matt Riddle, who fought John Morrison in a really good match, and then gets jumped by AJ, and then AJ fights Gulak. All that went by smoothly, and after that, the show just slowed to a crawl.
Yeah, that Banks and Bayley thing was awful to me. I have no interest in seeing, hey, it's Bliss and Cross against Bayley and Banks again next week. Like, okay, whatever.
That was the first match of the COVID era.
Promo for the Wyatt Swamp match thing. It's just another promo. Doesn't matter to me. The Jeff Hardy toast.
I wasn't digging. Opinion of Bray Wyatt being Bray Wyatt again.
About just being like full on Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
I mean, hasn't he already just been that for the most part?
Yeah, but now he's Swamp Wyatt again.
Yeah. Told you. I mean, his character didn't really change that much other than the Firefly Funhouse thing. So now it's just proving me right.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Tony's right.
I added a new extra character for the potential list at the end of the year. Jeeves, the bartender. That's a thing.
Yeah, that was dumb.
Yeah. So, was not digging those types of episodes for this week. But, you know, I didn't go into this week. Same as last week. I didn't go into it with, like, the same, like, oh, I got to pay attention to every single little detail for every single little thing. I was just like, nah, I want to enjoy this week a little bit more. So maybe if I would have put a little bit more effort into it, maybe I could have tried a little bit harder to like him more. But then again, for that matter, maybe if they would have put a little bit more effort into the episode, I would have liked it a little bit more. The only things I did really like were Great American Bash and Fyter Fest. And those are the two big show type things for this week. So those are successes at the very least.
I would agree with that.
Raw, SmackDown, didn't watch main event. 205 Live was just sort of blah. Dark.
I watched a little bit of Dark. I don't like it.
it's just a squash, essentially, that goes on forever. Like,
yep.
How many times do we need to see...
But that's what WWE was. Forever.
Yeah, but I didn't watch that.
That's fair.
Like, if I would have been watching during the era where it's like, I don't know, like, Danny Jameson is going to have a match here against Razor Ramon. It's like, yeah, I wonder who's going to win. We're like,
yeah, but at least you get to see Razor Ramon.
Back then, that was a big treat. Nowadays, it'd be like, I could just go on YouTube and watch his best matches or something.
That's true.
But like, Brady Pierce, Lee Johnson, all these names that keep popping up week to week. It's like, they announced the lineup for Dark. And I take the biggest name, the only one who's an actual name and like signed to the thing. And I literally just replace the word versus with that person defeated the other person. And I'm like, there's the results for Dark.
Well, at least you know what you're doing.
Yeah. Peter Avalon and Brandon Cutler having a match. Okay. Who's beating those two? You know,
they're like that a team kind of now. I think that's weird.
It makes sense. I don't hate it. But yeah. Those are the hot tags. I don't think we missed anything.
I don't think we missed anything either. I'll do one more sweep just to, like, make sure, you know.
And if we did, as I mentioned before, drop a comment below. Tell us and, you know, leave some kind of a comment or something like that. Or we'll tie it into the next hot tags or something if it ends up carrying over at some point. But
don't think we missed
a lot anything. Of the...
Vince apparently left Raw tapings early.
Huh.
You know, COVID.
I mean, pretty much everything else that's been going on in different websites and stuff is just kind of like, did you see this picture of Scarlett, did you see this picture of...
Yeah, like, you guys are getting real thirsty on these websites.
Randy Orton holding his wife's chest, and, like, Deonna Purrazzo posting a picture of herself at the beach, and, like...
Oh, here's one. Here's, like, an actual interesting discussion real quick. Ric Flair recently did an interview with Wrestling Inc. where he said he feels like he never had a good WrestleMania match, and I think that's actually really sad.
Hmm.
Like, if you look at Ric Flair's WrestleMania history, it's Randy Savage at WrestleMania 8, Undertaker at 18, he's in the Evolution Rock and Sock Connection match, he's in Money in the Bank, and then it's that great match with Shawn. Like, I think the Savage match is good. You know, I definitely put it up there as, like, top, you know, 20 WrestleMania matches. I think the Taker match is great. I think the Michaels match is great. Like, I think it's real sad that he's like, yeah, I've never had a good match.
I don't remember the Macho Man one. And I really don't remember the Evolution one. I only saw that once.
The Undertaker one.
The Undertaker one, from I remember, I thought it was fine. Nothing, like, super special. And the Michaels one, it's all about the moment. Like, the rest of it, I mean, really, all you need is the last couple seconds.
Yeah, but I still think Ric Flair held up his end of the match.
As the guy who's retiring and, like, past his prime and all that stuff, like, it made sense, you know? He's putting up a fight. He's not the one who's going to win. It's so weird to think, though, like, Ric Flair is retiring and Shawn Michaels is putting him down. And meanwhile, and Shawn's like,
is retiring 2 years later.
Yeah, like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to be done too, like, that kind of thing. And you're like, the young gun doesn't take out the old man, and then immediately go, and I also retire. It's kind of just strange.
But yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, I'm not finding anything else. So yeah, hopefully you guys got enough these hot tags. A lot of stuff to kind of go around here, but I don't think we need to go on a whole big long story about how Francine does not have breast implants, or like Bully Ray's gone from ROH, or any other little things here or there. There's a whole list of like what Brian Cage eats, you know, it's a thing.
What do you eat, Tony?
I had breaded chicken tenders, macaroni and cheese, and carrots for dinner tonight.
Really? I had a burger. I ordered a burger from a local pub, and it was delicious.
What was on the burger, though?
It's some red onion, pepper jack cheese, and a tomato.
I will totally pass on that. Not a fan of tomato, not a fan of pepper jack, not a fan of raw onion.
I'm not a fan. I like the onion better when it's caramelized, but I love me some red onion.
Got to saute that, replace the tomato with like either like a fried egg or some bacon or barbecue sauce.
I would like some bacon. I had a better burger last night. I actually ordered two nights in a row, but I ordered separate places. It's a real good burger with like a special sauce on it. Some truffle fries. Had this great dipping sauce that I think was like garlic and Parmesan. And there was just a lot of good shit. But we're breaking down to snack talk. So
snack talk might be one of the dark casts coming up. Who knows? Maybe we'll do that. It's on my list of just being like, let's do a snack talk episode at some point. So stay tuned to Patreon. Stay tuned to the channel. I don't know exactly for sure what we're going to be doing for next week for the main event. I've got lots of different options. Callum went ahead and he made the tier list up for AEW's men and women's rosters. So we might do that. We've got the option of Christian or Undertaker for both the superstar scores and the one more match option. So we might do one of those four, or maybe two of those four, or maybe none of those four. I don't know.
Or maybe nothing. I mean, you got me and Callum doing Paul Heyman SmackDown.
Yeah, stay tuned for that. That's coming up the next thing at the very least, because that's already in the can and that's scheduled to go up. Well, later technically today. At this point later today, because it's 12:45 a.m. So yeah, check that out, and then stay tuned for whatever the main event is, and then another hot tag, so then another Paul Heyman SmackDown, and whatever else is happening here on the YouTube channel and the Facebook feed and the SmartCatMoment.com website itself and the Twitter account and the other feeds on the podcast platforms that are out there, and SmartCat Moment and eWrestling News and Bleacher Report and Dude Felice on Twitter and Tony Mango and on Twitter
and Fightful. And you guys know where to find us, and we love you for it.
And the hippin' and the hoppin' and the bippin' and the bopping.
And the bippin' and the boppin'. You know what the jazz yeah. is all about.
You know, Smart Cat Moment's a lot like that new Coke.
It'll be around forever.
As long as you guys donate to the Patreon and show your support, hit the like button and follow and favorite and comment, do all that kind of stuff, and, you know, and stay tuned. Because then when you stay tuned, you'll be hearing us again. But at least for now, this has been another Smart Cat Moment, and we're being counted out.